Well, hi there. This is a Sojourner speaking to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. And in this session, we're going to be talking about the renewed mind. I want to welcome those of you who are here, and I want to welcome those of you who are listening around the world. I know some of you there in Australia are listening. I know some of you are downloading these and using these with your friends in homes in different countries. And we're glad that you can use this as a resource. So we're going to be talking about the renewed mind in this session, as I said, and our scripture is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. And I will be reading from the NIV because I want to allow English speakers around the world equal understanding of the words used. So beginning in verse 17 of Ephesians 4, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know the Lord that way, or know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Now, the made new there, I want to tell you, when Paul was writing that, he used the word ananeo, to renovate, that is to reform or renew. To renovate, so a renewed mind is a renovated or a reformed mind. Verse 23 of our scripture in the King James Version of the Bible cites the need for a renewed mind. The actual wording there is, "and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Spirit of your mind is mental disposition. There is and must be a renovation of the mind. The mental disposition of most people when they are first believers is uncertainty in the functioning in their newly found faith. This is not to say that they are uncertain in their faith. They're just uncertain, as I say, how to operate within that newly found faith. They're new arrivals in the kingdom of God, fully vested, fully vested. What's that mean? They are fully in. They don't have to earn anything more because they didn't earn it to get there, and they don't earn anything from the standpoint of what they have the ability to do. Now, they may not know or understand their abilities, but they are fully vested in the blessing bestowed through Christ in the kingdom. The new believer is, however, unfamiliar with how to access, receive, and function in and with all that has been bestowed on him. So what this is telling us, too, is it requires a changing of our minds. So the changing of our minds can, especially when thoughts and attitudes are bedrock and foundational to our old self and that way of thinking, they can be very labor-intensive to do anything about them, to change our mind. It can be much like renovating a construction of concrete by using a jackhammer to remove the old, to haul off the rubble, so there is a place for the new. You know, a number of years ago, I worked on restoring a house, and one of the things that I found out about restoring something is it takes at least twice as long to restore something as it does to build it. Because you do everything twice. You have to tear out old walls or old plaster to put up new. you have to tear out old wiring to put in new. You have to tear out old plumbing to put in new. But why do we do that? We do that so that we will have a proper functioning house. So we renovate it. We renew it. So it can really be like somebody with a jackhammer standing out there to remove the old, to haul off the rubble. Not to mention, this process can really shake things up. Because it's totally foreign to people when they first encounter it. As a matter of fact, people do not realize it, but they really have to overcome a spiritual apathy. Unfortunately, some people, once they're in the kingdom, they become just comfortable and they develop a different kind of spiritual apathy. But verse 19 talks of people who do not know Christ. So we're talking about the people who don't know Christ, who have never accepted Christ. So the people who do not know Christ as having this, you see, the Amplified Version puts it this way, it calls it spiritual apathy. When a person first believes in Jesus Christ, their spirit is set free. Their soul, which is their mind, is starting to renew, a renewal process, starting to renew itself, and their flesh, their body, is still in the world with the body's wants and demands. And might I even add, appetites. Our body has appetites. If you don't think that you have an appetite beyond food, then let me suggest for just about 5 minutes, 10 minutes here, let's just do something. Hold your breath for 10 minutes, and let's see if you have an appetite for air. I'm going to bet you do, and I'm going to bet that your body is going to force you to breathe. It may very well be that the habit pattern of a person may have been one, the body wants. Two, the mind says, why not? And the spirit says, who cares? Because, you see, people are operating in a fleshly system. So what the body wants, the body gets. And the mind says, why shouldn't the body have it? And the spirit says, who cares? This is where the spiritual jackhammer is needed to break up the old fleshly line of thinking which once controlled the mind and the spirit of a person. The old way, now remember, the mind is not the spirit. The mind is the soul, which is the mind, will, and emotion. The old way of functioning was from the bottom up rather than the new way of functioning, which is from the top down. In Ephesians 4:19 there, it says, having lost all sensitivity, this is what the Amplified calls spiritual apathy, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. But when we're called to Christ and we become a new creature, then we find out that we must put on the new man. When someone believes in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they become a new creature. As Paul told the church at Corinth, if you look in your Bibles at 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul wrote, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. New creature. You might want to know a little bit something about new creature. And the actual word there is katesis. And it is a new formation or a building. Isn't that interesting? A new building, a creation, a new creature, or a new ordinance. Now think about this, because when we come in to Christ, we come under a new ordinance. We're no longer under the law of Moses. We're under the law of love and grace. You see? Well, there's a new ordinance right there in that new creature. Isn't it interesting that this word that Paul used covers all of that? You say, well, what about building? Well, are we not the temple of the Holy Spirit? Well, there's the building. It's a new building. It's a new creation. We're a new creature, and we function in new ordinances. Putting on the new requires taking off the old. Let me say that again. Putting on the new requires taking off the old. Now, how many of us would get out of bed in the morning, maybe we're wearing pajamas, and we would just put our clothing on over our pajamas? No, we would be getting ready for a new day. What would we do? We would take off the old that we were wearing, and we would put on the new, preparing for the new life of that day. So many times, though, we new believers in particular, but even sometimes people who have been around the kingdom for a while, become tainted by uncertainty. James tells us, and he says this in James 1:8, he tells us a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Many new believers become double-minded, and they are unstable in their new life because they have had little help in the form of a seasoned believer to mentor them. We all need some mentors when we step into something. Isn't it interesting that people will come to Christ and they'll say, well, now all I need is the Holy Spirit to instruct me, totally ignoring what Paul wrote in Ephesians about he set the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher in there to help people come to the fullness of their calling. Not to keep them submitted, not to keep them an audience in a room someplace, but to equip them to go out into the marketplace, to go out into the highways and byways and take with them the good news of Christ. To let people know that they can be set free. Not to tell them how bad they are, but how good life can be with Christ. So people need a seasoned believer. You know, I did not have one for long, but I had one for a very short time, but it was a very seasoned believer who knew Scripture, who guided me to help me understand how to look into the Scriptures, and I am so thankful that God provided that person. I didn't know I even needed them, but God provided them. They explained to me why I needed to know some of these things. They never once said to me, you need me. They said, you need to be able to do this. And that's what they taught me. They never tried to dominate me. I've always been so thankful for that. You see, the new believer sometimes, they rely on their old understanding, which was built on a faulty and false understanding from their old life without Christ. You see, when you're in the world, it is the adversary, Satan, that is telling you how to live, how to function, what to do. So what we know about him is that he is a liar and the father of lies. He comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So when you're in that kingdom, then what kind of a foundation would you have? You know, Jesus talked about a foolish person building their house on sand and a wise person building it on solid rock. A life built on Satan's system is built on sand because we know, if you've read the end of the book, we know that he is not going to be able to dominate forever. But in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. He will, King James says, direct your paths. So, what do we see here? If we rely on our own understanding when we first come to Christ, if we rely on the things in the non-Christ system, in the outside the kingdom of the blessing, outside of the kingdom of God, to let us make our judgments, we're going to have a very strange mixture there. And we're never going to come to fully understand because we're going to use our own wisdom, our own way of thinking, our own way of doing things, which must be renewed. We've got to take that jackhammer of the Word of God in there and loosen up that old stuff that we thought was bedrock, that we thought was solid concrete, and haul that old rubble out of there and bring in the Word of God. Because why? Because we were recreated. We have been recreated. When a person is a believer, they are always putting on the new self. We don't ever really fully arrive, and we won't until we are one with Him. One day. But that doesn't mean that we're always at square one either. Many people act like they're going to be at square one their whole life. And that's not the case either. We should grow. We need to know. We need to learn. We need to be able to function in this kingdom that we have been brought into by literally an act of God. So we must, as I say, when a person is a believer, we must always be putting on the new self, which was in fact a restoration. Now listen to me here. A restoration to the original mankind placed in the garden east of Eden. Believers are created, reformed to be like God in Christ. If you're a believer, you were reformed, recreated, a new creature, a new building, to be like God in Christ. Righteousness and holiness. Now, some people have really gotten off track here because they have tried to be righteous and holy in and of themselves. Now, we were called to the righteousness of Christ. If you're in the body of Christ, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, the Scripture says. There is nothing you can do to make yourself more righteous. Now, there are maybe things that you can do to cause yourself to live in a more righteous manner, but there's nothing you can, in fact, do to make yourself more righteous or more holy. That was done by the work of Christ. So, righteousness and holiness, not the believer's own perfection, but the assumed, now listen to the word assumed here, because it's not the way that people usually use it today, the assumed or put on perfection given by Jesus Christ. We assume His identity because we have accepted Him and we are a new creature. It has become a part of us much in the same way as an inheritance would become a part of you when you inherit something. You didn't do anything to get the inheritance. It was given to you. And that's what happens with Christ. So it comes upon us. If we try on our own, we remain the old creature with a coat of man-made paint, denying the need for Christ. We just sort of make up and lipstick ourselves to look good, but that's not the way it's done. It's done only through Christ. And to understand that, we must have a renewed mind. And the renewed mind comes by being in the Word of God. The renewed mind comes by associating with somebody who is either an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher. Mainly, at some point, at first, you certainly are going to need in-depth help from a pastor or a teacher, then an apostle and prophet. The evangelist may be the one who brought you into the kingdom by the message that they preached. And this may not be, I don't mean to imply that the only way you come into the kingdom is through somebody who walks in the function of an evangelist, because there may be people who are evangelistic, but they're not in the function of the evangelist in the sense that it's placed there. But the point being that you need to be rubbing elbows with, listening to, understanding what people in those various functions are saying in order that they can help keep you on the path that you were called to by Christ. This is not to discount the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. This is not to discount the work of the Word of God in your life as you read it. You must get daily nutrition from the Word of God. I said daily. How many of you only eat one meal a week? How many of you, if you're involved in services maybe three times a week, how many of you only eat three meals a week? If you eat three meals a day, that's 21 meals a week. How many meals of the Word do you eat in a week? You see, we say, well, I eat those because I get so hungry. Well, you need to be as hungry for the Word of God. Because you see, when you eat the physical food, you're nourishing your body. Now then, who's running things still? I'm not saying you shouldn't eat. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if we're to have our mind renewed and let it be run from the top down, from the spirit to the soul to the body, rather than the body to the mind and the other direction, then we need to be in the Word. We need to be fellowshipping in the Word. We need to be fellowshipping with people who are in the Word. We need to be also testifying about the Word, because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Overcome is a very important thing. That's a part of the renewed mind. So these are the things that we must do. Now, if you feel like that you really haven't been doing that, then you need to go just to the Lord and say, you know, I didn't realize how far I had gotten from using that jackhammer to pry these things and cut these things out of my old way of thinking into this renewed way that I've been called to. Just say, hey, Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for that. And then just repent of it. Repent means turn around, go the other direction. Get back on the path that He will make straight for you. Get back on that path. That's the one. That's the one to be on. If you've never done it, then accept Him now. Just go to the Father and say, I believe in Jesus. I'm one of His. I acknowledge He is my Lord and my Savior. If you've done that, you're in too. You're in the kingdom. Now, if you need some help in renewing your mind, if you need some help in understanding some of these things, we're available to you. Just send me an email. Contact me at sojournershub.org. Contact me, The Sojourner, at sojournershub.org. We'll be glad to correspond with you. We'll be glad to get materials to you. We'll be happy to work with you. You may be able to attend some of our gatherings that we have on the Internet if you're not close to where we're having some of our gatherings where we get together in person. We have people doing that now from various states all at the same time. And we meet and we go over these very things, and people are able to grow. People have testified already as to how much it's really helped them just in a few sessions together, how much it's really helped them to grasp and understand the kingdom and know their place in the kingdom and how they can be a vital part of what their Lord has called them and wants them to do. Well, this is a Sojourner saying, I'm so glad you've been with us. Stay with us on our website. Go back and look at some of the teachings. There are several years' worth of teachings there. You can go back there and you can gain a great deal of knowledge just from having done that. Well, we're certainly glad that you were here. Focus on your renewed mind, renewing your mind. And with this blessing, this will bring this session to an end. We love you and we're glad that you're here. So this is a Sojourner saying, the blessings of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.